claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer, David Scorpio, Giuseppe Baffangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Welcome, everyone, to the event. We're just delighted to have a full staff here today because Scorpio has been able to join us. And, of course, our featured guest is Frederick Blackburn. It goes by Blackbird 9 or BB9. It's a return engagement. Blackbird has been putting together a lot of the connecting a lot of the dots involving Jussie Smollett and a host of other cases. So we want to begin with his overview of what's been going on and how the American people are being played. Blackbird.
Greetings, good sirs. Thank you so much for having me on the show today. Happy Wacky Wednesday.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. It's one of the things that we've been covering in the Breakfast Club shows is just connecting the dots of the big picture. You know, looking at the macro level of what's going on as well as the micro level, you know, these individual events that Mockingbird Media is either amplifying or attenuating depending on if it's agenda driven or not. And this is one of the things that, you know, is the antithesis of everything that communication law in the United States was supposed to be based on, was traditionally based on, the idea of, one, that you have the right to speak your mind without persecution, and two, that, you know, people are allowed to have equal say in our media networks. And we've seen this consistently being eroded. At the same time, you're seeing this huge monolithic media, which we refer to as Mockingbird Media, that is basically the Soviet-style echo chamber, where everybody's in lockstep, everybody says the same thing, and anybody who dissents is immediately branded, tagged, and attacked, or like with me, it's usually they just ignore me. They don't give me a platform, therefore my data dots can't be seen. And so when we look at, you know, all these events and then compare it to our adversary, the international elf, what their end game objective is, you know, basically it's their idea of they are fixing the world. To Kuhn alum, they are fixing the world. And unfortunately, they have identified people like myself and everyone on this show as the problem, that, you know, they will have world peace when Amalek is gone and Christianity is destroyed. And Amalek is basically any non-Jewish white person that isn't, you know, enslaved to their program. That, you know, if you're a Shabbat goy, as they call it, then you're allowed a platform. But if you dare try to oppose this agenda, then you are defined as Amalek and you have to be destroyed, and they are going to swarm you, or they're all going to unite against you. And so what is the patterns here? You know, the Christmas tree burning, the Jussie Smollett, you know, false flag, the Bubba Wallace false flags, you know, the Kenosha, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse trial, the Georgia trial, you know, all of these cases, the terrorist attacks of the parade. And, you know, it's like you have this person mowing down a Christmas parade, and that is not terrorism. And this guy's out within a few hours on like $1,000 bail. So this is what we see as the bigger picture, and trying to warn people about this to say, this is going on. You need to wake up and get your head in the game. So back to you.
Well, of course, the $1,000 bail was for a previous offense where he had actually run over his girlfriend with his car. It was absurd. And where the prosecutor had previously explained that he thought that bail was racist and he was going to let people out on bail, low bail, even though, and he said this publicly, it was going to cost the lives of some innocent people. But he said basically, and this is reminiscent of Madeleine Albright talking about the loss of 500,000 Israeli infants from our no-fly zone over Iraq, that he thought it was worth it. But how could it be worth it to have innocent people die because he thinks bail is racism? I mean, this is disgusting. So the same guy, within that a couple days, gets offended by the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict and mows down a parade in Waukesha. Give me a break. Giuseppe, yours.
Well, I think that BB9 brings up a phenomenal point of what has gone on in the last half century. When I my first degrees at University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee in the early 80s when I graduated was a dual degree, journalism/mass communications, which is training in radio and television. And the head of the department was also my advisor, at Dr. Earl Groh, and Professor Earl Groh, and he wrote a book about the fairness doctrine, and that was a key law that if you were going to allow someone like the traitorous communist sociopath Joy Reid to spew her venom, you would have to give equal time to the other side. And that was really a wise way to go, because then on any station, people would get some type of counterpoint balance to make up their own mind. And now that was wiped out in the 80s under Reagan, of all things. And then I think the stake in the heart came through Clinton with removing some other laws as well. But it's insane. Where I was reading, Jim, Frederick, and Scorpio, that they're not journalists, they're proselytizers, and they're being taught by the globalist, mentally defective professors at these J schools, journalism school, that you shouldn't be a journalist, you should be an activist. I mean, this is 100 years ago. This is the Bolshevik Revolution all over again.
Scorpio.
Well, this is already a fascinating conversation. And, you know, I think Blackbird and I made a great point that every event that happens in the world is either attenuated or accentuated, depending on whether or not it fits this agenda. And we really are dealing with a fully weaponized mainstream media. Everything that they churn out is with the sole purpose of manipulating the mind of the viewer to accept this agenda. And that's what we need to, the filter we need to look through. Everything that the mainstream media puts out at us is that it's designed to manipulate our minds to accept this grand, plan, this conspiracy to essentially bring a completely new system to the United States and the rest of the world as well. And, it's amazing. Like even with this tragedy with the tornadoes that went through, Kentucky and some other states, I'm of the belief that these were manipulated and strengthened using technology. And of course it's all comes down to, well, hey, is this a further indication of climate change? Well, of course it is. We have to do something. So, every single event is really through this lens, and we really need to realize that's what we're dealing with, a fully weaponized mainstream media.
Scorpio, I think you got it exactly right. That was my impression, too. I mean, this was a stunning tornado. I mean, they talk about once in a decade or once in 100 years. This appears to have been unprecedented, and I absolutely agree. It appears to have been exacerbated by weather manipulation, no doubt about it. the Jussie Smollett thing seems to me to be a catastrophe for the Democrats in three different ways. Number one, it's a hoax, and it's an obvious hoax, and it's on a small scale. In other words, most Americans can't get their minds wrapped around a hoax of the scale of Sandy Hook, much less 9/11, meaning the misattribution in 9/11, really a false flag, 19 Islamic terrorists, and the guy in the cave in Afghanistan had absolutely nothing to do with it. But by opening their minds to seeing a hoax on a small scale, I think it generates a more open mind, even if it's now just a jar. Second place, it impugns the fake news because the media went all in on this. Tucker, for example, has played clip after clip of everyone saying how horrible this was, how awful, how everyone should be astonished, you know, and distressed because this black gay man was attacked at 2 a.m. coming out of a subway on a Sunday morning on the coldest day in Chicago by two rednecks wearing masks, carrying a bottle of bleach that would have been frozen solid in a noose. I mean, it was also absurd on its face. And then in the third place, it undermines the critical race theory agenda with the oppressors and the oppressed, where the white men are the oppressors, of course, and everyone else, but especially black minorities are the oppressed. And of course, this just throws it upside down. So I think it's been really, really damaging to the Democrats, and it's not obvious to me how they're going to recover. Blackbird, well, your thoughts?
Yes, and excellent points made there, gentlemen. I think it's very ironic that we're having this discussion on National Bill of Rights Day. You know, today in the United States, for our overseas listeners, today is Bill of Rights Day in the United States, where we celebrate the Bill of Rights. And it is these, you know, fundamental God-given rights that are under attack. And this is, like you were saying, full spectrum warfare using communications. And so, you know, when you start seeing things like the Jussie Smollett trial and that whole thing, it was about, in my, what I'm seeing is they were trying to ramrod through yet another ADL-sponsored hate crimes law at the federal level. And so this idea of problem, reaction, solution, where you've got crisis actors, here's this, you know, B-list actor, homosexual, half black, half Jewish actor, who, you know, has this fantastic story that just doesn't, you know, hold up to truth, but it's a good story. And if you get it amplified, this is just like, you know, the old Soviet Bolshevik thing is a lie repeated often enough becomes the truth, especially if you don't allow anyone else to challenge it or contradict it or at bring in any additional information. So you see this happening. And one of the things for the listeners, you know, I, before I got blacklisted, I had a career as a systems engineer, you know, electronic networking engineer. And so when you start looking at this from a system analysis perspective, one of the terms that I recommend people research is the term called stochastic terrorism. That's a fancy word to basically say, we're going to make something up, amplify it, and cause something to happen. And so when you hear stochastic terrorism, it's basically the public demonization of a person or group resulting in the incitement of a violent act, which is statistically probable, but whose specifics cannot be predicted. Mm-hmm. And so when you're doing this, the idea is, one, a leader or organization uses rhetoric and mass media against a group of people. Two, this rhetoric, while hostile or hateful, doesn't explicitly tell anyone to carry out an act of violence against that group, but a person feeling threatened is motivated to do so as a result. Three, that individual act of political violence can't be predicted as such, but that violence will happen is much more probable thanks to the rhetoric. And four, This rhetoric is thus called stochastic terrorism because the way it incites random violence. So basically, you take a Jussie Smollett story and a Bubba Wallace NASCAR news story, and you amplify it. And then somebody out there says, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to, you know, do something. I'm going to, you know, take matters into my hands. And next thing you know, you've got a black guy in an SUV mowing down a Christmas parade. And, you know, and then you watch how the Mockingbird media treats that, and you see that you're being played. So back to you.
Yeah, if I could just jump in briefly, Blackbird, you're just making so many good points. And, you know, this Jussie Smollett thing is really interesting on so many different levels because, as you said, you know, this has to be attenuated. We have to shove this one down the memory hole ASAP, baby, because it doesn't fit the agenda. And it also, it's very interesting that, of course, he was black, gay, and Jewish, which means that anything, his victimhood status is just beyond anything you could possibly ever question. What I find fascinating is, you know, how they're just digging through this, you know, January 6th insurrection, which anyone who believes that's an insurrection doesn't know history, but, you know, they're digging through every detail of this, and it's pretty obvious that there was probably some kind of collusion, or a conspiracy hatched with the vice president, you know, Kamala Harris, because her and that Cory Booker character were trying to push an anti-lynching legislation right before this happened, right? You know, so the timing on this is awfully strange. And it's funny how there hasn't been one word about, well, we should investigate if there's any connection here. Obviously there is. So it's just amazing how, you know, I think you made a great observation, really, this thing about attenuation versus accentuation, whether or not it fits the agenda. This one clearly does not. Let's memory hole it ASAP, baby.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And my understanding is Jussie had been out on the campaign stump with Kamala, is either her cousin or even her nephew. And of course, the fact is that this Kim Fox, who dismissed the charges originally, Cook County attorney, claims Kamala, and we have photographs of her praising Kamala as her mentor. She wouldn't be where she is today if it weren't for Kamala, where even Michelle Obama's former chief of staff made contact with Kim Fox on behalf of Jussie that led to her dismissing the charges, which caused an uproar in the Chicago Police Department, where, you know, among the clues was the fact that when the police showed up at Jussie's apartment, he was still wearing the news. And we have there was a black juror who said he thought that was pretty odd because any black man who had a noose around would get it off him as soon as possible, as did the police, and that Jussie's tuna sandwich survived intact. The chief of police said normally somebody is in a, you know, in a confrontation like this, the last thing they consider is the sandwich they originally went out to get. Blackbird.
Yes, I mean, this is just so over the top, and that you had all of these Mockingbird celebrities and thought leaders and political leaders all jumping on board immediately with this shows that there was an agenda at hand. And now, since the waters have been tainted, so to speak, they're all doing damage control. And it's amazing watching social media, like Twatter, as I call it, Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, etc., that are trying to clean up in total Stalin's Bolshevik fashion all of those old tweets and memes about all these people supporting Jussie Smollett, and like just like Bubba Wallace, and now they're trying to distance it because he's become a liability. And, you know, that's the problem was the internet is forever. And that stuff doesn't go away, but they're trying really hard to downplay it and make it go away and say, oh, no, look over there. But I agree completely with Scorpio that this was all about, you know, creating a synthetic event to pass in a federal hate crimes lynching law. And it blew up in their face, and now they're trying to do damage control. And I'm reminded of President John F. Kennedy's speech about we're surrounded by a monolithic enemy, whose victories are amplified. I'm paraphrasing, but yeah, the victories are celebrated and the failures are hidden and erased. And that's what we're seeing. So back to you.
No, you're absolutely right. This anti-lynching bill, which he was co-sponsoring with Cory Booker, no one thought it was necessary. And after this event, she immediately jumped on, said it was a modern-day lynching. I mean, it was just so obvious, contrived for public relations effect. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, my favorite part of the Jussie Smollett deception is the two MAGA men who brutally assaulted him just so happened to be black as night Mandingo Nigerian bodybuilders, one of which was his personal trainer and the other which was an extra, his brother on the show. So I can just see, easy MAGA bros, let me set this sandwich down. Come on, we got to protect this sandwich. Come on, let's go now. It's just like
worst white supremacist ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Giuseppe, they even did a rehearsal.
Yeah. And if I could just add one quick point, you know, the other thing that's, you know, on the big picture of this is it opens up the door to looking at how many other so-called hate crimes have been absolutely forged, deliberately, you know, faked and made up. So that's the other thing we need to look at, this whole idea that we have this danger of hate crimes. We have to do something about it. This is all manufactured nonsense. It really doesn't exist in the real world, much like this hysteria we're hearing about the Omicron virus. You know, nobody in the real world seems to give a damn about it, yet it's all you hear about on the mainstream media news and any, you know, media station that you turn on, be it radio, television, or whatever, or the internet. It's just ubiquitous, but in the real world, it doesn't seem to really exist, just like hate crimes.
Nice point, Blackbird.
Right, and I am reminded of the quote by Globo Homo superstar handler Henry Kissinger, echo, yeah, where he says, quote, "The illegal we do immediately." So get your head around this. Here's one of the most powerful Jews in U.S. political history, you know, during, you know, the 20th century. And he's saying the illegal we do immediately. The unconstitutional takes a little longer. So you see how much contempt these chicken swinger international elves have for the idea, the very concept of God-given rights. And it's like, no. Talmud says, you're goyim, you have no rights. You only have privileges that are given or taken away by the elite, which is us. And that is their master-slave, globo-homo, New World Order model. And, you know, so how to destroy the Bill of Rights, which enumerates these rights, it doesn't give them, it just says what they are. These are God-given rights, not government-given rights. And just trying to undermine that entire system, saying, oh, that was old, outdated by, you know, that was devised by a bunch of old white supremacist slaveholders. You know, we need progressive government in the New World Order. And so you can really see, you know, the fundamental belief systems that here, that, you know, you've got two completely different worldviews. And I refer to this in my system analysis as the great experiment of 1776, the idea of a open source government. You know, everything is open source. You have, you know, the laws are out there for everybody to see. You know, you've got rights, your rights are acknowledged. And then what I call the great work, echo, which is this Zabatean, Francus, Kabbalistic, globo homo, new world order, where basically you have a star chamber elite, the, you know, the Grand Sanhedrin, who sit there and basically control everything. These people are, you know, micromanagement fanatics, that they just think that it's their job to micromanage the entire world because God gave it to them and we just exist to serve them. You know, we have no other place in the universe. So when you hear that, you know, in July of 1776, you know, we declare independence, well, you think, you know, independence from what? And then you look, you know, just a few months earlier on May Day, that the, you know, Francis and the Rothschilds created the Illuminati, which became the Zionists, which became the communists, which became this cabal we're dealing with now. And you realize that that was what they were trying to declare independence from, that they wanted no part of that, that they were coming up with a new system. And when you read Rothschild's reaction to the Declaration of Independence, you know, it's basically those uppity goyims, we're going to show them, you know, who's in charge here. And that led to the Revolutionary War. And it's been ongoing ever since. You know, you just think the bankers' wars, you know, 1812, that was a bankers' war. You know, everything has been about these two systems vying for dominance of the new world. So back to you.
Nice historical point, Scorpio.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's just a cogent analysis, Blackbird. And I totally agree. Fascinating thinking. I really like it. And, you know, I think another thing that you touched upon that's so vitally important, whether you're religious or not, or if you consider yourself spiritual or not, the concept that we have God-given rights. So, you know, rights given by a higher power that supersedes everything man can do, and that those rights cannot be altered. They're God-given. They're forever. They are eternal. The conflict between that and the idea of, you know, of a right that the government gives you at their pleasure, you can't have any more of a stark contrast than those two lines of thinking. And they're really, in many ways, at the very core of this conflict that you're talking about, Blackbird.
Giuseppe.
You know, I thought Frederick made an excellent point about the traitorous, disgusting orc Henry Kissinger as the prime handler in the U.S. government for the last going on 50 years. And another traitorous, disgusting orc handler for the Rothschild cabal is none other than Jorge Swartz, the traitorous Hungarian Jew who renamed himself George Soros, who funding all these individuals, even down to the Smollett level. And what's interesting to me is for the last decade, the alt-right has just controlled and dominated the meme wars. Their memes are savage and funny and biting, and the lefts are their victims and their virtue signalers. They can't even do a good meme. And so one of the best memes that came out, I don't know, 5-6 years ago was Clown World, right? And so what we see with Soros as the ringmaster, at least publicly, funding all these trained monkeys like Heels Up Caligula Harris, the Fox, the incompetent affirmative action DA in Chicago, Beetlejuice, the Lightfoot, the mayor in Chicago, Lori Bush, the incompetent now congressman from St. Louis, Smollett, and you could, the list goes on and on, that these dolts, they literally, they're just mentally weak. They're just bad actors reading lines in a script prepared from the Zio Communist, which is now called the Democratic Party, but it really should be called the Communitarian Party, which is the, as our friends of show, Lark from Texas and Brian and Jenna and the great Nikki Friedrich Rapana in Alaska, who wrote the book and did the research exposing the latest internationalist elf scam of the last 20 years, which is communitarianism, the fuzzy slipper over the iron boot of Tikkun Olam. It's just absurd to me, Jim, that the average citizen, I don't care what your color is, it is, or race, is so entranced by the mass media and now the knockout blow for total zombie daywalking is the social media, where people just, oh, where can I get my celebrity instruction today? What, you know, it's just insane to me that people no longer can use common sense and critically think.
Well, I think you're right. And the mainstream is going to have a hard time bearing this Jussie Smollett fiasco because it's got so many dimensions and it's so really intriguing. I think even to the average American that something as bizarre as this should take place right before their very eyes. and then be promoted and endlessly touted by the mainstream. I mean, MSNBC and CNN have egg all over their faces. It's really profoundly embarrassing. And I think it's even actually, ironically, among the least of the Democrats' problems, because with a soaring inflation, with the economy in tatters, with the open borders, with the fiasco of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, canceling the XL pipeline, making America energy dependent on foreign sources again, with the supply problems, and where you have a deputy secretary of the Treasury declaring that the supply problems aren't going to be fixed until every American is vaxxed. I think an awful lot of Americans are profoundly troubled by what's going on here, and it's showing up in the polls, which are showing just absolutely stunning drop in support for the Democrats across the board. Indeed, on a genetic poll, for preference for any Republican over any Democrat, the Republicans enjoy a double-digit lead. It's never happened before. And we have a number of Democratic pollsters and advisors saying if they don't get things fixed, they're in for a catastrophe. They're going to lose a lot of races. And another observing, I think more appropriately, it's too late. We're effed. Scorpio.
Well, those are good points, Jim. I'd only add, though, that, right now the international elf is using the Democrat Party to push a certain set of social agendas. But, of course, the Republican Party has been the party of war in the past. And so whenever they need to take us to war, they make sure to stack us with Republicans who want to give the life of every young man and now women for the altar of Israel. No matter what happens, we must protect Israel. And so I just think that a possible tact here is if things really do implode for the Democrats on these social agendas that really do seem to be failing in a lot of ways, I'm seeing more resistance than ever towards this masking and the COVID. It seems to me the average person is really starting to feel like something's not right, that they're getting played. And so the alternative now is to possibly take us to war, because that bad old Putin has got all those troops on the border of Ukraine. And of course, we all know we have to protect Ukraine at all costs, because there's a Jewish guy running the country now. And, the insiders have made tons of money from unscrupulous deals with Ukraine. So let's, sacrifice some more Americans for that cause, and then possibly even expanding it beyond that to some kind of conflict with China over Taiwan. So that there's, these people are playing a long game, and they always have contingency plans.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And the third, of course, is planning to attack Iran, which has always been high on the Israeli agenda, but they want the U.S. to do it. They want us to do the dirty work, just as 9/11 was orchestrated to draw us into the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region. While historically wars have led to a solidarity and support for a president, as for example for W after 9/11, I don't think in this instance it's going to work. I think it's going to be viewed, if we get into a war, as a further demonstration of the incompetence of the Biden-Harris administration. I mean, Donald Trump is the only president of recent times, and you can go back six deep and so forth, who did not get us into a new war. I don't think the people are going to rally. I think it's going to further damage the Democrats.
Jim, I'm saying that they'll use the Republicans to bring us to war, not the Democrats.
Well, but what I'm saying is the war would be under Biden, and they would want to use it, Scorpio, to historically, when you have a war, the people rally around the president, and that's what they need. His poll numbers are pathetic. Kamala's are even worse. They might try to blame it on the Republicans. I don't think there's a ghost of a chance that could work. I think that it's going to be a failure for the Democrats. I agree that this is a primary option to go to a war. I agree Ukraine is most likely, Taiwan second most, and then Iran third, but that it's not going to work. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
I think you're both making excellent points. I think that much the way the failed lead balloon presidency of George W. Bush Jr. they need 9/11 saved his bacon. That guy was so low in the polls, Biden like low. So I think they are going to seek to do something, especially the internationalist elves have been setting up Ukraine as Israel 2.0, as the great Robert Ravel observed on his show this past Sunday, December 12th, that the Rothschilds want all Khazarian Jews to be able to go and live in Ukraine without even obtaining citizenship. That's how much power they feel they wield now. And similarly, I mean, there's all kinds of aggravated tweaking with China and Taiwan. And then, I mean, the only thing that's going to save Biden now is either a massive false flag in the U.S., like they've been talking about some type of dirty bomb for years. And so something like that, or a war. I totally agree with that observation. It's the only thing that's going to save his sinking ship. And finally, the idea that everything that's going on with the failed Biden presidency is all because he is 100% a marionette controlled by the Rothschild global cabal. He was installed as president of the United States. He lost in a landslide to Donald J. Trump. And so, you know, everything he's doing, the whole New World Order, the Great Reset, Build Back Better, destroying the economy of the United States, seeking to starve people out, to freeze them out with lack of natural gas and heating oil for the winter, the insane escalation of inflation. This is all the Build Back Better with little sixes instead of little Bs for their satanic evil agenda. I mean, there is nothing that Biden has done that isn't directly marching orders from the globalist internationalist elf.
Blackbird.
Excellent points. One of the things I was reminded of is the famous quote from Meyer Amschel Rothschild's wife, Gudel Schnapper, echo, quote, "If my sons did not want wars, there would be none." And you think, you know, how many of these wars of, you know, white people against white people with, you know, Jews financing both sides of the war have gone on. This is basically, you know, the last 500 years, you know, of, you know, history. And then you think, and then the Rothschilds come in, it just got, you know, escalated. And you just see this ramp up curve of war. And one of the questions I always have is, in this Rothschild New World Order mindset, is if they're setting the United States, the Constitutional Republic of the United States, up to be the designated loser of World War III, and, you know, how World War III is going to play out is, you know, up for discussion. But the idea of, you know, that third world war, where everything's going to be destroyed, the old world's going to be destroyed, and the new world order will take root from that. And so we think of this idea in international elf, you know, theory, is this idea of catastrophic events to progress the change agenda. And so many of these architects of 9/11 were thoroughly ingrained in this, the ends justify the means mindset of philosophers like Leo Strauss, who was a huge mentor for all the Project for the New American Century international elves, like Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Fife, Richard Pearl, you know, all of those guys just worshiped this, you know, Leo Strauss's philosophy. And yeah, he totally hated the United States, but yeah, he was one of the main philosopher professors at one of our leading universities. And so how do these international elves get to all these positions of power in these, you know, businesses and in learning institutions and in academia, all the way up from elementary school to universities, when they completely hate the United States and want it destroyed? You know, here you're talking about Soros earlier. It was amazing these last few elections, watching all of this George Soros money just flooding into these southern states in not only the presidential election and the Senate elections, but down to the local school board elections, everything. You know, it was amazing here. You know, we had people winning elections here in the mountains of North Kakalaki in these Appalachian mountains. Nobody'd ever heard of. They moved in a few years ago, and suddenly they've got this huge war chest of campaign money and are just buying up all of these elections. And you start tracing it, and it's like, well, who are all these NGO groups? And, oh, look, you know, Mark Zuckerberg funded this, or, oh, look, you know, George Soros funded this NGO group. And you see that this is fifth generation warfare. This is full spectrum warfare. And they're using, you know, money to literally buy up all these positions of power. And so when you're talking about the differences between the Democrats echo and Republicans echo, you know, we have the term here, rhinos, Republican in name only. And one of the trends I'm seeing is this new woke Republican Party, where, you know, these are conservative angry Black women and conservative angry Black men and conservative homosexuals that are now taking all these leadership positions in the so-called Republican Party. And so night after night on all the, you know, Mockingbird media, you know, we're hearing conservative talking points coming from anybody but a white straight male. We're not allowed a platform, but we can have conservative talking points from, you know, some transgender LGBTQ person as long as they're voting Republican. So back to you.
Scorpio.
Well, yeah, this is fascinating. And, you know, the idea that possibly the United States is being set up to lose a third war, I think this is a very real possibility, especially when you look at the deliberate feminization of the United States military. Now, I'm not talking about the divine feminine, I'm talking about misusing feminine energy and completely misplaced in a very masculine setting, which is the military. And, you know, unfortunately, they've deliberately stacked high level positions with trannies, all kinds of weirdos, people that are completely incompetent and full of bad ideas. It's hard not to think that, you know, that the United States military is being deliberately softened up, because if you watch any footage of the Chinese military or the Russian military, they certainly have not done that. The Russian military is very masculine, and the idea that you know, the military needs to be used as some kind of, you know, use for like social justice or to help heal the ills of society is completely misplaced. The only point of the military is to kill the enemy. That's it. End of story. There is no other purpose.
I think you're right about what's going on with the military. This Lloyd Austin seems completely unfit for the position, trying to vax the military. You're going to, you know, disable America from having a military response. And you're 100% correct about promoting transgenderism in the military. I mean, that's 100% the wrong thing to do. Very dispiriting, destroys morale. And it's bad enough to have women in military combat, because then you got men who are thinking about things other than performing their duty in combat. Yeah. The idea of putting women aboard naval vessels, in my opinion, where I've spent a fair amount of time in the Marine Corps aboard naval vessels, is ludicrous, just completely insane. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, I'd like to ask all three of you gentlemen, because you all have military family histories, and Jim, yourself, you've been in the Marines, as you've told us many times with interesting stories. Is like, to me, what happened, and we lost the military right after 9/11, because within a few weeks to a few months, it was obvious Israel and dual citizen traitors and out and out traitors like Donkey Dick Cheney betrayed this country. It was an attack by Israel and murdered 3,000 innocents. And if we actually had a military that lived up to its sworn oath to protect this nation and its citizens and the Constitution, Israel should have been bombed into the Stone Age, and we should have turned it into a colony of ours. And instead, we go to war for those vile, satanic internationalist elves. And so how is it that the military goes along with that? It's such a traitorous, it goes against everything this country stands for, everything that military personnel swear an oath to. How is this happening?
Well, I'll take that first. You know, that's a fascinating question. And you know, again, this goes back to the disparity between, you know, the heads of so many organizations and the actual people that are involved in it. Another example, you know, is the Catholic Church, just how the upper level Vatican personnel is just probably satanic, in all honesty. Yet the boots on the ground, you know, that the priests in the small town, the priests in the local neighborhood are often really incredible, very sincere people. And so we have the same thing in the military. You know, you have these insane globalists who are really working for the side of evil, whether they know it or not. I think some of them are willingly doing that, and they're getting off on it, and they enjoy it. And then you have the difference between those people and this, the sincere young people that join the military with the highest ideals in mind in most cases. So we have a problem with leadership, and the reason is that all of leadership has been seduced by the international elf and its magical toys and magical shekels that they can print at will. So that's the root cause. There is this idea that, you know, you have these money powers that can simply print up as much money as they want and hand it out to their friends without it being tied to anything real. That's the problem. We have a leadership problem and a magic shekel problem.
And of course, fiat currency and inflation are going to be used as a justification to switch to a digital currency. And once that's done, we're all effed. Blackbird.
Yes. One of the things I was reminded of is the 1933 book by H.G. Wells that they made a film of in 1936 called The Shape of Things to Come, in which H.G. Wells talked about the Great War that would destroy, you know, Christianity and bring in a new world order, in the Freemasons of the New World Order, as they say, in the film. And so you just see this group that, you know, they have been at this long game forever of, you know, this is our end game objective. And so we have to destroy all the existing systems so we can replace it with something different. And so this idea of, you know, democracy, you know, just pushing that democracy, democracy, democracy. And now we have democracy and equity. And, you know, that, oh, we can't have a white majority or a white male majority on anything anymore. Everybody has to be equally represented. But at the same time, when you look at meetings of Chabad Lubavitch and, you know, all these, you know, neo-Sanhedrin groups, you know, there's not much diversity in those. You know, this idea of this hidden cabal of, you know, ethnocentric narcissists that say, oh, well, you know, we are the, you know, learned chicken swingers of Zion, and we get to have our little homogeneous system, but we're going to use the Kalergi plan of mass immigration and psychological warfare of just constantly hitting democracy, 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 not this is a constitutional republic. You know, they don't teach that to children anymore. They teach showing that we have a democracy and that everybody is welcome and equal under the law. And we have to bring in the third world to bring in equity so that everything's fair. And yeah, this was the whole point of, you know, first they pushed the feminism, and you look at who were the feminist leaders. They were all these radical Jews. And then the so-called civil rights. I mean, that was total psychological warfare. You look at all these countries where they brought in blacks, Yeah, they always blame it on the white people. But no, it was Jews that brought in the black slaves. And then they say, oh, we have to elevate these blacks to equity stand, you know, and give them full rights. Then the next step was the homosexuals. And you look at, you know, how laws on homosexuality changed in the United States. It wasn't due to any type of new scientific breakthrough and studies, et cetera. Basically, you had a group of Jewish terrorists that were, you know, these literal globo homo terrorists, which is what these Zabati and Francis are. They're, you know, homosexual degenerates, terrorizing the American Psychological Association to change the DSM manual to no longer declare homosexuality as a mental disorder. Then you had the, you know, big Laramie Project of, you know, basically demonizing white people for the, you know, lynching of this poor homosexual man. And it was just like the Jesse Smollett story. That whole thing falls apart upon inspection, but yet you have the entire Mockingbird media staying, you know, in lockstep with that storyline about, oh, this poor homosexual guy was beaten up by these white supremacists. And it's the same story. It's like, no, that was basically a homosexual drug deal that went sideways that Mockingbird got a hold of and blew it up. Here at the local university, Appalachian State University, echo, 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 under Chancellor Jezebel Everts, they actually required one school year for the entire student body, faculty, and staff to all read the Laramie Project. They brought in that clown's mother to give the commencement speech at graduation and to push the homosexual agenda on this small mountain community that traditionally viewed homosexuality as mental illness and something that you don't tolerate in your society because it is so destructive to your community. And now Boone, North Kakalaki is little Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, it's amazing how many militant homosexuals have flocked into this area, and many of them taking positions of power at the university on taxpayer money and declaring war on we locals. You know, they are open about how much they destroy. They hate Christianity. They hate the local white population. They're here to fix us. And so this is their mindset. And this is, you know, like I said, full spectrum warfare. And, you know, you see this, how they're, you know, destroying the universities, how they're destroying the government. They're destroying the military. They're destroying youth groups like scouting. My father, you're talking about father. My father was one of those people that, you know, Depression era baby, Pearl Harbor happens and he lies about his age and joins the military and, you know, goes, fights the good fight, right? And then stays in retires from the military. And, you know, his military is gone. Yeah, that system no longer exists. Same thing with scouting. You know, he was a huge scout leader. He was one of the most decorated scout leaders in North Carolina, if not the nation. I was a scout. I was Eagle Scout, senior patrol leader. I went to Philmont. I went to, you know, leadership training, Round C, Double Two, troop leader development, you name it. I did it. And, you know, now when you talk to people, it's like, are you going to put your child in scouting? And they're like, oh, hell no. Why? Excuse my friend, but why would I do that to my child? You know, they have completely poisoned all these institutions by design because they want them to fail. That's how they work. They infiltrate, they subvert, and they destroy from the inside. So back to you.
Well, there's so many aspects to what you've just observed, Black, where a lot of it quite profound. I observe superficially Giuseppe observing about the Jewish women. It turns out that $1,000 bail for Daryl Brooks was put up by four Jewish women to get him out on that cheap bond so he could do his thing in Waukesha. I also appreciate the underselling of the Constitution and the United States as a republic and the emphasis on democracy. Biden would have us believe his role as president is to keep us safe when his role as president is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. And when you get all this talk about democracy, then you get the mob rule and everyone, the issues that have the greatest pressure from the public are supposed to be those that we're acting upon. I have certainly Scorpio has many wise things to say about these issues. Scorpio.
Well, this is such a great show. So many good points are being made. And I feel like, you know, the biggest problem this cabal of international elves are facing right now, really, is that I really do believe that more and more average people are starting to realize something ain't right with the version of the world they're being told, you know, because when you think about it, it's not really a conspiracy theory. It's really having an accurate understanding of how power actually operates in this world and the way the system actually operates. You know, the general public has been fed this sort of, you know, comic book, you know, fairy tale version of how the world works. But I think because of the internet, because of shows like this, there's just, you know, more and more people are starting to realize that they've been played. You know, a while back I was at a hotel and I ended up talking to the maid, and you know, she was quite well informed, I have to say, about much of what we're talking about. Certainly not on the, you know, the specifics, but she knew something was wrong and she didn't like the direction that the government was trying to take our population and our culture and our civilization, essentially. So this is why the international elf is in a panic, and they're going to keep moving things along at a stunningly fast pace. It's their only option.
Yeah. Giuseppe, a few final thoughts before we hit the break.
Oh, I think that in sum, the three of you are making stunning points that it is a malignancy. It is a satanic cancer that is eaten away at the core of every first world nation in the last 100 years. And I mean, can you believe what's going on in Europe with the floodgates opened to Germany and Sweden and all this? And they're telling the actual natives to lay back and enjoy it when you're raped by an African or a Muslim in Sweden. I mean, this is just the height of absurdity. And yet, this cancer continues to metastasize at a stunningly fast rate. I mean, look at what's gone on in this country in just the last couple years. I mean, it's insane that the illegitimate installed fake president Biden is literally destroying this country every which way you look at it. Inflation, 50-year high.
Hold that, Giuseppe. We'll be right back with Blackbird 9 after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, as Giuseppe and Scorpio are aware, but Blackbird possibly not, this weekend I hosted the False Flag and Conspiracy 2021 conference, during which on Sunday I presented A Tale of Two Cities about Kenosha, Kyle Rittenhouse, and Waukesha, a pretty straightforward narrative about how the media has misrepresented Kenosha. Kyle Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense, that that it may be that Daryl Brooks mistakenly believed what he'd heard in the media, that Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist, that he shot three black men when none of them were black. In fact, the three who were shot all appear to have been elves, ironically enough. But the fact of the matter is that Russ Winter had raised some questions on this very show, where I had been preoccupied with the politics of the case because it's so contrary to the Democrat narrative and what they're trying to promote, have a black guy mow down a whole bunch of white people in a vicious attack, and where, you know, just many of the same elements that fall out from the Jesse Smollett trial affect negatively the black narrative. I hadn't taken seriously enough the possibility that this might also have been a staged or at the least an exaggerated event. Russ Winter and Scorpio and Giuseppe and Daryl all went together to put a nice analysis, and I want to share and get Blackbird's take on it too, because I want to acknowledge they have taken a closer look at what happened in Waukesha than had I myself. So I'm very much in their debt. I put together a little slide set here. Giuseppe, you want to put, yeah, here we go. And Blackbird, I'm just delighted to have you here. The title of Russ's presentation was High Strangeness, the Waukesha PSYOP. Very clever. go ahead, Giuseppe, or should I? Can I go ahead to the next slide? Yeah.
Well, you control that, Jim. You'll have to move to the next slide. I just put it up on the screen.
There we go. Yeah. Okay. Now, one of the points he made is it's difficult to see through that image in the lower right the driver, but actually when you can see his beard and so forth, I think it's pretty obvious the outline is, in fact, this Daryl Brooks fellow. What I wanted to point out is that Russ mentioned in passing in Charlottesville, we couldn't tell what was going on. So I pulled out a slide from Charlottesville. Actually, James Field in the lower right, who's this diagnosed schizophrenic wearing heavy prescription glasses, was not driving the vehicle. Instead, it was this 32-year-old military veteran who commands a battalion of reservists in Ohio who is driving. And even though it's through the window, you can see without too much effort that that's who it was actually driving, meaning the whole thing in Charlottesville was a scam. We knew that already. I've documented it rather copiously, even published a whole book about it. But this is a very telling aspect to it. Now, here we have the band before the vehicle approaches. You can see it's just starting to approach there in the background. Then you have it coming forward, taking out a few members of the band. This is moving further into the crowd. Now, among the points that were being made were that he could have taken out a lot more victims, but we'll talk further about that. Here's the vehicle in the middle of the crowd. A nice point that Russ was making, and Giuseppe and Scorpio and Wayne all agree, of course, is it's not obvious how we're getting up to these large numbers that are supposed to have been injured. You know, we got allegedly 6 dead, 5 initially adults, 3 grannies and one of their husbands, and then this 8-year-old boy. But we're being told as many as 60, 62 were injured. It's not at all obvious that we have any evidence whatsoever of that number. Now, I had uploaded the video here so we could look at it, but it wouldn't upload whatever first time here on StreamYard. So I've asked Giuseppe if he could show that video. Giuseppe, can we, move to the video? And we'll see what's going on here with some of the highlights. They talked about how we have an earlier clip where the vehicle appears to be traveling at a higher rate of speed. I thought around 40 miles an hour, and yet it seems to be driving much more slowly when it hits a crowd. For example, you don't actually see bodies flying up in the air as we do from the Russian video where people are being hit right. Here's the key video from what happened in Waukesha, presuming we can get it. Now, this, to me, looked very authentic and real, especially when we have the bumping vehicle, you know, over the bodies. But there's more to come. Let's see here if I can get the slides back on. Yeah, thanks. Here we do have scenes that I agree 100% are fake, and I want to return then to the video because it's true that he certainly, it would appear, could have taken down many more of the victims of his targets if he were serious about it. This is supposed to be in the aftermath where you have a bunch of spectators attending to the wounded. There are numerous aspects of this that are troubling. As Russ observed, there are bodies on both sides of the street when seemingly it should only be on one side of the street. I wanted to compare it with a scene from Boston. He actually referred to Boston. Now, what I find very striking, I mean, this is notice, these are supposed to be individuals who've had limbs blown off by explosives. And while there are bodies lying there with missing arms and legs, there is no blood. As Lorraine Day, MD, who is in charge of trauma surgery for San Francisco General Hospital for 25 years, has observed, it's a physiological impossibility for bodies to have limbs blown off and there to be no blood. But what is also true here and in Waukesha, there was no surge of EMTs. There was no string of ambulances to rush the bodies off to hospitals where they could be treated. This also happened at Sandy Hook. No surge of EMTs, no string of ambulances to rush the little bodies off to hospitals where they could be determined to be dead or alive. And this happens because the emergency services are reluctant to participate in a drill since they may be used for real events, for real emergencies. So they don't do it. So I agree 100%. All of that is fake. Also, the idea that he backed the vehicle in so you could see the damage. And then they did a very nice job of talking about how the damage doesn't look as though it was created by hitting these various bodies, as we're told was in fact the case. Here you have, for example, this is from Nice. The truck at the bottom is supposed to have hit 84 bodies, but it's pretty obvious that that was feigned because, as you can see above, from hitting a single deer, you have blood all over the vehicle. Well, you can't hit 84 bodies and have no blood. In fact, it turns out in Nice, they actually put mannequins in the street. I mean, honest to God, mannequins. How bad is that? And they put some blood in the street that had come from pigs. Here you have, too, the doorbell ring. And I do agree that's very peculiar. You got this guy who just started wandering around, and he happens to go up to a door and rings the bell, and it's just possible for them to have a complete recording. We can end the slide to go back to talk about this among ourselves now, Giuseppe. So I do want to, I'll mention, of course, that we have the conference available now. I want to compliment you guys for doing a great job on this. And when you do the further close-up of the sequence of events involving the vehicle, I think Giuseppe's got it 100% right that this was a hybrid event. Some of the most obvious forms of fakery were in the aftermath, where you had the, as it were, spectators hovering over the body. You can't see the bodies. There's no even reason to believe there actually are real bodies there. And I reiterate, the absence of a surge of EMTs, no ambulances called, is a real tell. In fact, in Boston, you had real MDs who wanted to come to the aid of the victims, and the Boston police would not allow them to do it, because it would have exposed the fraud. Scorpio, some of your thoughts, because you participated in creating this wonderful critique of the Waukesha.
Well, a lot of different things come up in my mind from this. You know, the idea of a hybrid event is very important. And the idea that, you know, that they can take a real event and then use, after event editing to customize it or to slant it in the direction they want. So we really have to see that every single thing the mainstream media pushes will involve, you know, either overt fakery or covert fakery and slanting it towards their own agenda. That's what everything is geared towards. And I just think that we're at a point where you really can't trust anything you see on the television. It's all mind screwing. And, you know, it's just amazing that what I see is they want to have, you know, perpetual trauma. They want to have one traumatic event after another and make it look like that's the world we live in. When, you know, you go out into the real world and interact with other human beings, that's not the world we live in. We don't really have a world of perpetual trauma. They just want to convince us that we do. And so whether or not these events are real or partially real, they're focusing on a very small thing. I mean, ultimately, that's a tragedy, what happened. But I think it's just part of this overall thing to keep us perpetually in trauma and to make us more susceptible to be manipulated and steered towards this agenda. Everything we see and experience from the mainstream media or the corporations, the major corporations that are part of the World Economic Forum, everything they do right now is part of creating this new system. And at its very core, it's an anti-human system, and it goes against the very fundamentals of human behavior and human nature.
Well, because this was a black guy, and he's got a rap sheet that runs 50 pages, you know, and he's mowing down whites. I mean, this is so contrary to the critical race theory, the Democrat of the blacks, the whites, the oppressors, the blacks, the oppressed, that it was difficult for me to wrap my mind around the fact that this could be exaggerated for political purposes. Russ made a nice observation toward the end about separating politics from analysis of the actual events. On the other hand, of course, they fit within a broader political context. And I now suspect that when he observed what we're going to see as a sequel is a white guy mow down a bunch of blacks, makes perfect sense in terms of the dynamics of the politics to exacerbate racial relations, which then achieves that goal of seeking to even drive toward, you know, the revolution. Charles Manson's, you know, idea of a race war between the blacks and whites, where we had a BLM activist saying in Milwaukee that he thought perhaps the revolution had begun here in Waukesha, meaning a war between the blacks and the whites, which Charlie, via Helter Skelter, thought would the blacks would prevail because they were stronger, but because he viewed they were also dumber, they need leadership. So Charlie and his band would emerge from the mountains to offer themselves to lead the new world. That's Charlie's version of a new world order. Blackbird, I don't know how much of this critique by Russ and Giuseppe and Scorpio and Wayne you're familiar with, but I'd welcome your thoughts and comments.
Excellent presentation. I love that slide and asking all the right questions about, you know, I always tell people, you know, is an event organic or synthetic? You know, did it really happen the way they said it happened, or was this a synthetic event where it's all smoke and mirrors, it's acting, it's real theater, you know, political theater? And if you study the works of Trotsky, especially, you know, the mass murderer, you know, Leon Brezhnev, you know, it was all about political theater, agitprop, you know, to create events that were then amplified by the media to push an agenda forward. So, you know, real politics defined as politics based on practical rather than moral or ideological considerations. And so I always go back to Rahm Emanuel's quote of, you never let a crisis go to waste. You know, even if things organically happen, you jump on it to push your agenda forward. And I was also reminded of the quote by Karl Rove, a.k.a. Turd Block in the administration, who was, you know, one of the big strategists of 9/11. And he said, quote, "We're an empire now. And when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality, judiciously as you will, we'll act again, creating other new realities, which you can study too. And that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors. And you, all of you, will be left to just study what we do."
Blackbird, that's such a wonderful quote. And I think what we're seeing is Hollywood comes to Washington and everything is fake. We know Joe Biden's fake. We know they have a set for the Oval Office in the Eisenhower administration. We have photographs where you can see the reporters in the audience watching the events on the stage, and yet they're not reporting it. They're not reporting it. I mean, they've gone whole hog in creating imaginary worlds to promote, just as you're suggesting from Karl Rove and others, where Henry Kissinger may have been the source, observing that the facts don't matter. All that matter are the perceptions. Giuseppe.
Well, after Charlie Manson died a couple of years ago, I was a little concerned, but now I've received confirmation that after the race war, Blackbird 9 will come down from Blackjack Mountain and lead the blacks. So I feel a lot better about it.
Well, at least we know the world will be in good hands. Scorpio, back. I know you have so many more thoughts, Scorpio.
Well, yeah, you know, and I think too, you know, so many times, you know, we have to realize we're all targeted for these misinformation campaigns, and you know, because they want to have everyone fighting with each other. That's the whole point. And I really do believe too that they've been using a strategy of confusion, so that, especially with Operation COVID hoax, that you just don't know. You don't, after you take in all the information the mainstream media gives you, you just don't know what to think. And that's, I think, being applied more broadly now too, to just to try to keep the population in a sense of confusion and not being able to understand what's happening in this world or why it's happening. You know, I listened to, I had to do some driving yesterday, and I listened to NPR, and just the sort of childlike, explanations they give to the economy, like, well, yes, there is inflation, but the Federal Reserve is going to possibly raise interest rates, and that should slow things down. And it's everything's so simplified, and just believing that this, the exterior apparatus, is how things are really operating. It's just stunning, the misinformation and disinformation that they put the general public through, you know, 24 hours a day on pretty much everything. Just like William Casey said about the CIA disinformation program, it will be complete when everything the American believes is false.
Right. Everything the American people believe is false. I think in the past, they have pitched their propaganda to the eighth grade level. I think today, it's at the eight-year-old level. I mean, it's so insulting and simplistic. Blackbird.
Yes. I always go back to, you know, the end game of destroying high-trust communities and replacing them with zero-trust society. That, you know, basically everyone is atomized, the individual. You do not have any groups allowed. The individual is just a worker drone for the system. And this idea of creating this paradox media as psychological warfare of, you know, you see this theme recur again in, you know, Hollyweird, Echo, and, you know, Jewish, you know, science fiction writers of, you know, creating a paradox loop in a computer to shut it down, where you give it conflicting information and you can't process it. So you just go into an inert shutdown state. And most people know Adam Curtis's film documentary of Century of the Self, talking about the Freud family and Edward Bernays and the psychological warfare of the individual. But he also did a follow-up study called Odierism, where the idea was to basically set up all of this conflict and just bombard people with conflicting information so that they shut down and all they can do is say, oh dear, right? And I see that, yeah, that's where they're trying to get us to go in this, like, this fractured system. And one of the key hints in this dystopia they're trying to create, it was given in George Lucas's 1971 film THX-1138. If you haven't seen that film before, you haven't seen it in a while, you know, watch it with these eyes and see what you see, because, you know, it's this dystopian society of all these alienated individuals living in constant fear of the state. And that's how order is maintained.
So great. That's great, Blackbird. That sounds like a lot like what we're entering into if they have their way. Let me mention, we will be taking your calls. The number 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. We got us all here. Giuseppe, Scorpio, Blackbird, perfect opportunity. Questions about any of the subject we've been discussing. Blackbird, it's just a real pleasure to have you back on the show again. And I think you've been making many astute points. And I do believe this Jussie thing is going to endure, that it was so peculiar and that the media went so far in when it was so obviously an absurd story, and that it contradicts everything we're being told by the Democratic Party. I think the ramifications of this event are going to be very substantial. Your thoughts?
Well, I always go back to big lie theory. And, you know, people always, you know, Mockingbird always say, oh, those mean old national socialists in Germany, you know, they were all about the big lie. And it's like, no, they were explaining how big lie theory works. And the idea is you just tell a whopper, and you have all your Confederates back up that whopper, and for the individual to still be part of the group, they have to basically deny their own reality and accept the group reality. And you know, when you look at the psychological warfare experiments of Solomon Asch, you know, it was all about group conformity and having not only the authority figure up front telling the big lie, but the Confederates that you thought were part of your peer group reinforcing that big lie and being in on it. And so you think, you know, with actors and that idea of the stage, and I always go back to that John Lennon quote about, you know, the entertainment business is just an extension of the Jewish religion. And you think, yeah, these people are stagecraft. What is Mossad? You know, that is stagecraft. Political theater is stagecraft. You know, you always talk about intelligence work as the craft, you know, Freemasonry as the craft. And this idea of creating these illusions to basically control the population, and you're not allowed to look backstage. But, you know, all the actors are in on it, that they know it's make-believe. And, you know, that idea of the wink, the one eye, you know, winking, blinking, and nod. Right, where, you know, you're just going along with it because you're in on it. And that's what we're seeing here with this Mockingbird media, all these compromised celebrity into pseudo intellectuals like, you know, Chomsky, you know, and the rest of them, that, you know, they are bad scientists, but they're on the payroll, and, you know, these bad politicians, etc., and bad media, but they're all in on it. They're all, you know, winking at that we're going along with the big lie because the ends justify the means.
We're at the break now. Let us hear from you. Your call 540-522-4452. We're standing by.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I got to say, with these hot topics, I'm fairly astonished we don't have a caller online yet. Giuseppe, any from the chat room or whatever? I think these are probably about as good as we get in terms of central issues today. Blackbird, expand on anything you'd like.
Well, I would like to pretend I'm calling in. Ring, ring. What does the panel, one ringy dingy, what does the panel think about the post-trial events of Kyle Rittenhouse? The organic versus synthetic, I found it very questionable that suddenly Kyle Rittenhouse is on the Tucker Carlson show meeting with President Trump and attacking Lynn Wood, yeah, who is the attorney trying to expose the vote fraud from the 2020 election. You know,
well, the thing with Lynn Wood is peculiar, I admit. I mean, he was one of Kyle's original attorneys, and Kyle felt as though Lynn Wood was seeking to use him to promote Lynn Wood's own agenda. In the past, I've certainly had a high opinion of Lynn Wood. Now, Tucker had been following the case, doing quite a good job. I mean, he's excellent on so many issues, even though I believe he's a bit naive in terms of conspiracies generally. For all I know, he still thinks Lee Oswald shot JFK, for example. But in terms of these more contemporary issues like January 6th, Kyle Rittenhouse and the like, he's been absolutely sensational. So it was natural for him to interview Kyle. And I think that because he represents, you know, the Second Amendment self-defense, standing up for your rights, I think it was pretty obvious that Trump would have enthusiasm for him. By the way, of course, during the interview with Tucker, he said he himself actually supports BLM and believes we have a need for change. But how specifically we should take that, I think, is an open question, whether that just been a kind of general endorsement of benefiting Black people or not. Scorpio, your thoughts about Blackbird's question?
Well, this is a very cogent question, and I am deeply suspicious of the whole Rittenhouse event. I think more so than you two. I'm just starting to see. First of all, one thing's for sure: that photograph they showed of one of those guys' arms that he supposedly shot with the 223. I'm sure you guys have seen it. That is not a real picture. I've talked to two different people who know a lot about ballistics, yes, and wounds. It's not a real picture. So that alone, now we have a fake picture. So And some other people had pointed out that you could see that they were using a green screen for part of the trial. And then now, of course, one thing that wasn't mentioned is that not only is Rittenhouse a BLM supporter and Antifa supporter, but he also decided to have the gun he used destroyed. So he took it to the cops and they're going to put it in a gun crusher. So that's just an interesting element here, because really that gun's probably worth six figures.
Oh, and, I think it's insane to have that weapon destroyed. I mean, that's just a ludicrous idea.
Well, and Jim, it's sort of... indicates the mindset of someone who's against guns, because if you're against guns, turn your guns into the police and have them destroyed. That's the best thing we can do.
Scorpio, I agree 100%. That's bizarre. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, if I could just finish.
Please.
I'll be brief.
No, take your time.
The idea that, here we have an event that's just emotionally charged. It's sort of thrown out there like a piece of red meat for us all to scrap over. And, either you're for Rittenhouse, you're, oh my God, it's so dangerous. They just have this kid running down the street shooting people randomly versus, oh, he's a hero. He's a patriot hero, this young man. This is a wonderful thing. My God, this is just incredible. So we're supposed to respond one of two ways. It's just like, this piece of red meat thrown out there for us all to fight over. And, again, in the big picture, what does this even mean? It's just this event, I believe, another created event like the OJ trial, like so many other things. We're just supposed to follow it, let this consume our time, let this become somehow a part of our reality when it's just this contrived movie, essentially. And this is the round and round it goes, guys.
Giuseppe.
I think Scorpio makes some excellent points. I mean, I think the idea of the modestly organic event, and then it takes on a synthetic false flag explosion afterwards. I mean, the fella who is incredibly well-trained, who mentored Kyle Rittenhouse in all this advanced weaponry training and first aid in a military zone. I mean, this guy's 17 and he's trained like an American soldier. So that's pretty amazing. And so you wonder how much of this was, they knew something was going to happen and he was the guy who could probably survive the attacks. And then it just exploded into this false flag after that. That's my take on it.
Well, and wasn't Lynn Wood involved in the Richard Jewell bombing case?
Right, he was, yeah.
Right, so that's an awfully, again, here we have this guy that was involved in another one of these suspect events that was highly emotional. The idea that, we have just, here's this lone white guy terrorist planting bombs at the Olympic pavilion or whatever. So I just think that the suspicious that here Lynn Wood pops up again in the middle of this drama, and another indication that they're using a tried and true actor or manipulator here inside this event.
Who are you identifying as that tried or true actor?
Lynn Wood.
Lynn Wood himself. Yeah, okay, because I was wanting to get your take on Lynn Wood. I agree that photograph that's supposed to be the arm injury is fake. That's Photoshop. That's not real. I agree 100%. And having formerly supervised recruit training, I mean, Kyle's ability to use that weapon was very impressive to me. There are aspects of this that are odd, I agree, but I've generally believed it all to have been authentic, the story. Oh, the green screen thing. I believe that may have happened because they were limited in how many cameras they could have in the courtroom. I didn't attribute that as being particularly significant, where you see the foot disappear in the floor, but I know whereof you speak. Blackbird, more from you?
Yes. Again, I see it as that polarizing event that Scorpio is talking about, where you either think this way or this way. There's no middle ground. It's a very polarized event, and one that is going to destroy the family unit. You always go back to that destroying the family. So you're splitting these families over, you know, their stance on gun control in this event. And so you're just getting all this fighting going, and that's what they want, is the conflict. Now, it's interesting you're talking about, you know, he's 17, and one of the things that struck me was, you know, I went through scouting back before they ruined scouting. My scoutmaster was a colonel in the Army Corps of Engineers, a Green Beret, had a Sergeant Kelly was a scoutmaster. My father was, you know, retired Air Force. And so we were trained in not only weapon safety, you know, all types of weapons, but also in first aid, from just basic minor first aid up through triage of, you know, major, you know, first responder type of events, because they were basically training us to be EMTs and first responders and things like that back then. Now they just tell scouts, call 911, right? And so I was just completely impressed with his discipline of, okay, if I was, you know, 17 years old and I was put in that position and I had a full mag, you know, would I be that disciplined against a mob trying to kill me? And that, so that was one of the things that just, you know, this was the biggest discipline trigger finger I've ever seen. So it's like, wow, he's either really, really good, or this was synthetic. So back to you.
Well, he is remarkably mature. I mean, he seems to me 100% genuine. It would take something to convince me the guy was a fake, a phony, an actor. But there are aspects that are open. You know, it has occurred to me, could this be like Waukesha, an event by, as it were, the white hats to counter the propaganda of the black hats? I mean, in other words, two can play the same game. If they're going to have orchestrated events, Jussie Smollett being a blatant example that blew up in their face, could the white hats have a Waukesha event? I think that Giuseppe's had the right idea, that it was a hybrid, that it was real in its core, but they exaggerated. And I most certainly agree that after effect of on the street, where you have the hovering over the bodies on both sides, that's totally staged. That's may have well been filmed on a completely different occasion and put together. Giuseppe.
Well, I know Mitchell is not in his normal. I think he's in Ohio, and I don't think he's there to take calls. I guess we could try and do my call in number. Let me change the banner to this. Let me find that number.
I thought Mitchell was there. We had exchanges. He was letting me know about the break.
Yeah, I think he stepped away. So I could have sworn.
I was even inviting him to comment, and no response. So I suspect you got it exactly right.
Okay, so my number, we can try if you want to try. My call-in number, 703-873-7797. 703-873-7797. 703-873-7797.
I thought callers would be all over this show. Believe me, I thought all over this show.
There's been at least four who've tried and said in the chat room it just rings. And so, yeah, Mitchell must have had to step
away. Okay. Good. We got a new number now for callers, 703-873-7797. Giuseppe, I want to put back up the slide set, if we might, because I want to just let everyone know where they can access the conference. What do we have to do to accomplish that goal? Yeah. Okay, it was held on the 11th and the 12th, and here we have the program on Saturday. I mean, it was a full lineup. Nick Kohlstrom, Holly Seeliger, students, 9/11, JFK, coronavirus, pandemic, legal aspects, fascinating stuff. Special appearance by Dr. Catherine Horton and William Bill Benny. I mean, that's the real Bill Benny, our nation's cybersecurity lead. Okay, another full lineup. I'm hearing the ringing. Have you got somebody? Go to false flag.
Please leave your message for 7273264425.
Five for 1 month, everything $40, everything for a year. go ahead, Giuseppe. Let's take our caller.
Okay. Just one second, Jim. I have to disconnect your sharing and redo it. And that'll make this work. It'll take me 1 second. There's another one. Share. Okay.
I'm on the line here.
Okay, hold on a second.
What we got here? Just give us your first name and state.
Yeah, hold on, Jim. I have to. We'll go in order. Let me just give me 1 second. Okay, the first call is from area code 727. Are you there?
This is 727.
Okay, tell us your name and where you're calling from and what would you like to say?
This is Pete from Florida. Long time I haven't talked with Professor, but glad to talk with you again. In terms of Kyle Rittenhouse, I heard, interestingly, a couple weeks ago that, Jim, you get a kick out of this, Kyle Rittenhouse looks a lot like Noah Posner.
Well, I went to look up
pictures of Noah Posner, and sure enough, I got to tell you, there's a likeliness that
I've seen that.
It looks a lot like
Noah Posner was a fiction made out of photographs of Michael Kepner when he was a child. He was already in college at the time. He's graduated. He's working in Connecticut. He's alive and well. They're not the same. So that's just one of those, you know, certain similarities. But I mean, I appreciate you bringing it up. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Here you have Noah turning into Michael Vabner. See, Michael was already in his teenager when Sandy Hook went down, and he's older now, of course, needless to say. So,
well, how old would Kyle Rittenhouse be now? I mean, Noah Posner. How old would Noah Posner be right now?
Well, if he was
2008
years old in 2012, if you had, let's see, this 21, 9 years old, he'd be 15. But you see, the actual source of the photographs of Noah Posner was already at least that age back in 2012. So, I mean, he's now much older. He's in his 20s.
Right.
Same. Not the same. That's all. That's the answer to the question.
Okay. We've got our next caller from area code 281.
Yeah, thanks.
Please tell us your name and where you're calling from and what would you like to add? 281, are you there?
Oh, yeah. I'm here now. Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I've been trying to get through. I'm going to be about as cogent as Pedo Joe Biden, but, you know, I'll do about that. Joe Pedo, how about that one?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you remember 2014, there was that Overland Park Jewish Community Center shooting. Do y'all remember that one? I believe that one pushed through a lot of the anti-Semitism laws and the hate crime laws. And I just found it interesting. When that happened, there was a doctor, I believe his last name was Underwood, a Corcoran, and he had supposedly died there. And I went and looked for his picture. There was no pictures on the internet of this doctor. And I looked up his name, and he had an office, or he shared an office with two other Jewish doctors, and he had no patient referrals at all, no reviews, no patients. So how does a doctor operate?
Bruce, you're right. Another completely fake event. Yeah, you're right. Spot on.
And another thing, you know, he was in a wheelchair when he went into court. He was arraigned there in the jail. So, you know, he was disabled. He was about on the death's door. What did he have? He had something was wrong with him, but he was on death's door. And allegedly he ran around in a parking lot with a handgun and a shotgun and shot two people, jumped in his car that went from the community center to a synagogue and then started shooting over there too.
Yeah, Bruce, now, Bruce said that was totally fake. You're 100% correct.
Okay, our next caller.
Yeah, let me finish. There were actors at the community center. There were actually actors there doing a performance of To Kill a Mockingbird. Okay, I'll talk to y'all later.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, next caller is from area code 518. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Joshua New York, and I have two things. One, did you guys hear about the sheriff or whoever that came out about Obama's birth certificate being fraudulent?
Oh, say that again. Obama's what being fraudulent?
Somebody came out and said that they did an investigation on Obama's birth certificate that they sent in for his presidency.
Yeah, Joe Arpaio.
Of course. Go ahead. What's your other point?
No, the other thing was, I guess supposedly just now on Fox News, they were saying that the JFK files were released.
Really?
Huh. New JFK.
Yeah, I just seen the headline for it, and it said that the JFK files were...
We've already got that one pretty thoroughly nailed, by the way. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to point that out. Yeah.
Check it out. I'm doing the reviving. I've revived the new JFK show. We're doing one tonight. We're going through Oliver Stone's new movie, piece by piece, JFK Revisited, which doesn't appear to move the ball very far down the field, sorry to say. Another caller, Giuseppe?
Yes. The next caller is from, give me 1 second. What the heck? Oh, go to call. Okay. The next caller is from area code 360. It's got to be Brian or Jenna.
Yeah, it's Brian from Washington. So I think you guys still owe us a roundtable focused on communitarianism. We have Mr. Fauci interviewed on MSNBC this week, and I want to play 60 seconds because he's talking about the communal, and we need to get up to speed. His wife is a known communitarian, so apparently a little of his wife is rubbing off on him, so just 60 seconds.
That's even the most important point. I think she's with the FDA. I believe she has a...
I mean, I understand, and we all understand... So, how people do not like to be told what to do. They want to make their own choice and their own free will. I get that and I respect that. But these are unusual times. And you can't think only of yourself and your own personal opinion, but you've got to think about your communal responsibility to get yourself and your family and indirectly then the community protected. So I would prefer, and we all would prefer, that people would be voluntarily getting vaccinated. But if they're not going to do that, sometimes you've got to do things that are unpopular, but that clearly supersede individual choices and are directed predominantly at the communal good. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about requirements.
Well, you're absolutely right. This was in Need to Know yesterday or the day before. You want to go to my blog and look at the interview. Henry Macko had a response from Jacob Rothschild to a comment he put up on the Truth Seeker in the UK, and it's really disturbing. I interviewed Henry during the conference, and it was the most disturbing interview I've ever done. But you can get the gist of the Rothschild point, which is, everyone is supposed to be homogenized. Everyone is supposed to suppress their interests for the sake of the common good. Really, what they're trying to do is to turn the rest of us into slaves and robots. And graphene oxide appears to be a key to it as to why you're going to be happy. You own nothing and you're going to be happier than you have ever been because you no longer have your own thoughts and your own feelings. It's all profoundly disturbing.
Our next caller is from the United Kingdom. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, it's UK Steve here, calling from Glastonbury. Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, you sound great.
Yes, Gary. Yes, go.
Hi, guys. I'm actually phoning from my new place with a new internet, so hopefully this is a lot better.
Excellent, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, doing well, by the way, so I've managed to recover. Oh, a couple of comments. One is Kyle Rittenhouse. I tend to think and agree that it's a bit of a performance piece. So if you actually look at Kyle Rittenhouse when they were giving the verdict, if you actually look at the over-dramatic way he collapsed to the floor, almost screamed in a way, yeah, he didn't seem very masculine. For someone who can run around blowing people away, killing looters ostensibly, it all seemed a bit overly dramatic and again a bit of a performance. So I'm not surprised to see there's a bigger picture there in that he's been asked to become an actor upon the world stage. So that's like the first point. I don't know if you agree with that at all.
No, I take exception. I think he was just relieved. He'd been under tremendous pressure. That was just a relief that the jury had seen it his way. I thought his response was completely authentic, but I understand why you might have doubts. Go to your next point.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think it's something to be studied anyway, extreme behavior like that. And what was the other point? It's escaped me now.
Waukesha, something about our black guy, Daryl Brooks and Waukesha. Could that have been?
No. Jacob Rothschild. There we go. He's got a website called Common Destiny. And when we're looking at Rothschild's King of the Jews kind of motif, it seems to me that we're moving to a depopulation agenda, and there's quite a few jocks moving now to a hard line. It's going to be an incremental racial, we're going to be slaves for life, to they're just going to depopulate everybody, and they're going to have robots as slaves. That's what they're going to have as slaves, not human beings. That they're obsolete. You know, they're people who potentially can rebel. What we need is robots and machines at the behest of Jewish sadists. So when we're looking at Rothschild, I think the Rothschild plan and Jewish policy actually work hand in hand incrementally, perhaps 10 years in the future in like immediate plans. But we have to look at Rothschild's common destiny, and that common destiny, the way he's framed that ahead of COVID, it seems to me that he's going to eliminate everyone who isn't Jewish. And the people who are left are Rothschild's chosen ones. That's the game plan.
Yes, I think that's right. Gut Blackbird here. Your thoughts before
we have excellent observation, and shout out to UK Steve. Good to hear you still out there hanging in there.
thank you.
Compare my story to your story. It's like, okay, who's got the more skin in the game here?
Scorpio, I want to get back to you too before we have to part. Scorpio.
Well, it's been a tremendous show. We're really at the top of the hour. I want to thank everyone for being on and the callers. And I just thought we just scratched the surface. Whenever we get on with Blackbird 9, I feel like when the show's over, we just started talking.
Nice. Seppy, a word?
Yes, tonight is Frederick's weekly podcast at the Breakfast Club. So go listen tonight. Bye.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.